What is a game changer? The definition of a game changer is the following: a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. A game changer is an element that gets introduced to an existing situation, but when it gets introduced, it changes that situation in a significant way. A game changer is also an event or an idea or a procedure that affects a significant shift in the current way of doing or thinking about something. So a game changer is an element. I set you an element, can be a person. And I set you that God wants you and I to know that He made us to be game changers. But a game changer can also be an idea. An idea or a procedure that shifts the way we think about stuff and the way we do things. A game changer is a newly element. A newly element that changes an existing situation in a significant way. So that can be a person that gets introduced to a sticky situation and change that situation significantly. And God wants to know you to know that everyone that gets born from the Spirit of God, that is part of the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the sons and daughters of God, you and I, we are introduced to this world by the Father as game changers. Like Jesus, I said to you that there was and is and never will be a greater game changer than Jesus Christ Himself. He changes the face of this world by stepping out of eternity into time to change the game men were playing so that today He can be the game changer for all humanity, the Savior of the world, your Redeemer, your friend, your Lord and Savior. He stepped into a sticky situation and changed the game. A game changer can also be an idea. An idea that significantly shifts the way you think and do things. And I said to you previously that I believe God wants to download game-changing ideas into His people's lives so that in every situation they find themselves in, they have a brand new game-changing idea. You have a business, I pray that God, and I know that He wants to download into your life a game-changing idea in that business. You might be a dentist. I said it. I don't know why I'm saying it, but maybe that's for the dentists over here. But God wants to give you a game-changing idea when it comes to your dental practice. You might be a teacher here today. God's going to download and give you a game-changing idea for teaching better. A game-changer changes the way that something is done, thought about, or made. Friends, Jesus made us to be like Him, like our Father in heaven. The biggest challenge the Church of Jesus has today is the following. We don't know who we are. When Christ steps into our lives, the first and foremost thing that He wants to get through to us is who He made us to be. He said, you were dead, now you're alive. You're a sinner, now you're a saint. He wants you to know what He made you to be. And when you are a game changer, like I'm telling you, you need to know that your elder brother Jesus, your Lord and Savior Jesus, He was and is the foremost game changer of all time. Jesus stepped into your life and into this world to make us like Him, like our Heavenly Father. In 1 John 4:17, it says the following, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Just if you came to this sermon today, just for that, it's enough. As He is, so are you in this world. Not as you will not become like, you are like Him. When you are born again, you were created like Him. Like Father, like Son. So who's Jesus today? What has He made us to be? In Psalm 51 verse 12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Well, I can park there because I'm looking at some of your faces. Some of you need to be restored in the joy of your salvation. I'll go on. It says, and behold me by your generous spirit. Friends, the Bible says the Lord is the Spirit. God wants you to know that God is a Spirit. That when God comes into your life and you get born again as a spiritual being. You have a soul and you live in a body. So everything in your life should be run by and from the Spirit. You live by the Spirit. The Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. We walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And too many of us are still living in the old way. We live in our old lives. We look at the flesh. We look at carnal thinking. And we think that we're going to live this great life God wants for us. We ain't going to live there unless you change your living from the Spirit. You learn to walk by the Spirit. Think by the Spirit. The Bible is very clear in the New Testament that carnal thinking or soulless thinking will lead to death. But spiritually minded people will lead to life and peace. God stepped into your life, gave you a new spirit man, a man that is spirit man that is reconnected and recreated in Him. It is alive unto God now. And you need to understand that you are now a spiritual being. You have a soul and you live in a body. But one thing else, I said it earlier, is that the Spirit of Jesus, it says clearly there, the Spirit of God is a generous spirit. Give me a water bottle, please. No, one of those. It's a generous spirit. So the DNA of the spirit that you are born from is generous. That means when we squeeze, if we can take this as God, and we can contain God, which we know we can't, and we take God and we squeeze Him. We squeeze Him. What's going to come out when we squeeze the Spirit of God? What does the Bible say? It's a spirit. He's a spirit, but a generous spirit. Now, if you are born again from that spirit, if we squeeze you, what's happening with you? What's going to happen with you? The Bible says you have to be born again. And when you are born again, and we come and we squeeze you, what's happening? What's going to come out when we squeeze you? What should come out when we squeeze you? Because an apple tree cannot bear oranges or bananas. An apple tree brings forth apples. And God wants you to know that He made you like Him, like His Son and like Himself, and like the Father. And God wants you to know the Father is a spirit. And that spirit is a generous spirit. Now stay with me. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 6, the wisest man ever lived said the following: "You were extravagantly generous in love with David, my father." Speaking to God, He's saying, you were not just loving my father, you were extravagantly generous loving my father. Giving us a different perspective of the being which we call God. He's not just generous. He's extravagantly generous. Telling us that the Spirit of God is not just a generous spirit, but an extravagantly generous spirit. Extravagantly means the following: spending much more than is necessary or wise. If you really want to know what is extravagant, then you need to just get a wife and give her a credit card. You will quickly find, and all the men you just left me hanging. I know why you didn't say amen or ah or ooh. It's because when you get home, you get paksla. When you get home, extravagantly generous means spending much more than is necessary or wise. Don't you thank God that He was extravagantly generous by saving your sins, saving you from your sins, by forgiving your sins? That today is extravagantly generous towards you, that you have a house, you have a bed, you have food on your table, you have clothes on your body. that you are forgiven, that you are the righteousness of God. Thank God He didn't treat you like you treat Him when it comes to giving. You see, you don't know who you are. Extravagantly means exceeding the bounds of reason, actions, demands, opinions, or passions. It means going beyond what is deserved or justifiable. It also means wandering beyond bounds. When you are extravagantly generous, giving a tithe ain't a problem, because you give much more than 10%. When you are extravagantly giving, serving is not a problem. You don't just serve one service, you serve five, six, you serve till people tell you to go home. When you're extravagantly generous, you care. You don't stop caring or just do the limited caring by giving a person a phone call just before the Sunday service and ask, how are you? Do I see you at church tomorrow morning? No, you go beyond bounds. You're not limited by the just enough. In Matthew chapter 5, 14, it says the following. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be the light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. And the church says, amen. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a top, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. I just want to park there. God says, listen, I've made you the light. Don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket. No. I'm not just going to hide you. I'm not going to hide you. I'm going to put you on a light stand, and then I'm going to find the highest hill, and I'm going to put you there. Now I want you to shine. Now look at what He sees as shining. He says, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be open to others. You'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. Shining, He connects with your life being generous, an open life. You allow people to come to your home. You open up your house. You are generous in all ways, not just giving, all ways. He says, when you live a generous life, you allow people to open up to God. Next time you ask Jesus, let your little light shine, you need to know He's looking at your generosity. So how generous are you really? If I come and I squeeze you, which I fully intended to do as your pastor, fully intended, I'm going to poke you in the eye. Not on Facebook. I'm going to poke you. Bong. Because if I squeeze God, what do I gain? Generosity. If I squeeze you, what am I getting? So we'll see now in the next few months. I'm going to squeeze you. So we will either see generosity or we'll see stinginess. We'll either see godliness or we'll see a devil standing up. Ooh! Awful quiet here this morning. Just stay with me. Don't let me lose you here today. There will be a game-changing message for you. If you get it, it will change your whole life. You see, Father, family, we don't just have a generous Father. We have an exceedingly extravagant, generous Father. So the goal for God is not to get you to be generous. He made you to be generous. The goal for God is to get you to become extravagantly generous. So when we look at your life and we find you to be generous, it ain't good enough. The end goal is not generosity. The end goal is extravagant generosity. As He is, so are you in this world. The purpose of the church is not to get a get-together. The purpose of the church is discipleship. I said it on the way back here. Many of you will leave this church in the near future. I'm not a doom prophet. I'm telling you. Because you don't want to be squeezed. You don't want to be discipled. So the moment you don't want to be discipled, most Christians, they jump ship, they go to places where they don't get discipled. And when they don't get discipled, they're so relieved that they give. They never give here. Don't want to be discipled. But they go to places where they get no discipleship. They just do what they want. And then they just, giving is not a problem now. It's not a problem. It's not an issue anymore. The purpose of the church is not to get a get-together. The purpose of the church is to disciple you. Purpose of men of God is to get you more like your brother, more like your father. I can't leave you when you're having a stingy spirit. That's like leaving you in hell. I need to get you to become like Jesus. I need to help you to see what God made you to be, then to encourage you to move further, not to stay there. So you have to listen to me. The purpose of the church is not to get you here. The purpose of the church of Jesus Christ is to make disciples. And that means a disciplined life in every area of your lives. That means by looking at your life and saying, no, bro, that's not who Jesus made you to be. This is how Jesus made you to be. I can't force you to get there, but all I can do is tell you that's the way, live in that way. If you don't want to, then you don't want to. I found so many people leaving this church where I'm involved in when it comes to finances, when it comes to giving. Because they don't want to be discipled. It's my precious, my money, my life. No, 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 no. They're stingy. Stingy. I want to show you that Jesus will always challenge His people to be generous and to become extravagantly generous. And there's a danger when people are stingy. It's a cancer. It's a cancer. It's a disease. It makes life smaller and smaller. I'm going to show you. So if we allow you to have that generous, that stingy spirit, what's going to happen is if there's 1,000 of you, our lives, our world is going to become smaller and smaller. That's what the Bible says. So we cannot. We need to talk about this. We need to say, no, that's not how Jesus made you to be. That's not where Jesus wants you. You came into church, you're now generous. Hey, bro, move further. Become extravagantly generous. Because that is who your Father is, and that is who Jesus is. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens here, but I'm not here for your amen. In John chapter 1:14, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. Generous, inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word came from heaven, became flesh, moved into the neighborhood. That's Jesus. The first thing that the people saw about the glory of God is what? Forgiveness, love, righteousness, what? No, generosity. When Jesus moved, the first thing that people experienced from God was the following: generous, inside and out, true from start to finish. So when the Lord Jesus comes with His Spirit into your life, what should your community and your world experience, church? Generosity from your inside and outside, and then true from start to finish. If you have the Spirit of Christ, people should experience that. The world should see
That we are a church that is born again and carries the spirit of our Father. We are like our Father. Like our elder brother. What are the world experiencing about you? I look at your giving. Let's just say giving. Financial giving. It expresses your spirit. Shows us exactly who you are, your giving. I am fully persuaded to uproot this cancer. And I might lose many of you. But I trust this book. And when you are saved, brother, really saved and born again, that should come out of you. Generosity. You are true from start to finish. Your word is your word. Family, Jesus made us to be extravagantly generous. You were made to be an extravagantly generous person. Like father, like brother. Jesus, still today, gives extravagantly to you and me. When you really look at him, today the Bible says he gives grace and more grace. He's not stingy. The Spirit of God is not stingy. He doesn't just give a little bit. He gives over and above. Thank God he didn't just save you from one kind of sin. He saved you from all kinds of sins. Thank God he didn't heal you from one kind of a disease. No, he healed us from all kinds of diseases. Thank God he didn't just come back for the Jews. No, he came back for all nations. Extravagantly. He's extravagantly still giving every day into your life, into your lives, into your lives. How can we not become like our Father? What is the Church of Jesus then for on this planet? To get a get-together? To sing a few fast songs and slow songs? Or ain't the purpose of the church to be like our Father and like our elder brother? In 1 Timothy 1:4, it says, "Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus." God is generous, extravagantly generous. He gives you faith and grace from Jesus. Your whole life's church is today a life of generosity from your Heavenly Father. Everything you have. Romans chapter 10, 12 says the Jew and the Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Friends, you might have a challenge today. But if you are the righteousness of God, if you are born again and you call on your Father, he's just going to give generously to you. He's not just going to give you, 5p, 50p. No, no, he's going to make sure that you are generously supplied. Are you still with me? What does the Word of God say about generosity? In Proverbs chapter 11, 21, 25, it says, "The generous soul shall be made rich." Woo! Who of you want to be made rich? Put up your hand, don't be a liar. Put up your hand. We all want to be made rich. What does the Bible say will make you rich? Generosity. It says the generous soul, the one who's generous in their mind, generous in their emotions, generous in their will be made rich. Getting 10 jobs aren't going to make you rich. A 10 to 1 will get you out of the will of God, out of the purposes of God, and not being used by God. You can have 10 jobs and still be stingy. But generous shall be made rich. The generous soul will be made rich. Proverbs 22:9 says the following, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed." Hey. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you feel me? It's amazing. It's very easy. I can give you the mic and preach this sermon. When you preach this sermon, you quickly see who's got generous eyes or not. You quickly see them. Like many of you, some of you, when I started to talk about generosity, you started to look at the doors, you started to look at your eye patch. When I speak, you don't look me in the eye, you just wander, your eyes wander. Very best example to explain a person that's got a generous eye is go take people out for dinner. Wait till the desserts are on the table and you will quickly see the generous eyes. The one that is generous at the table will look for the waiter to catch the bill first to pay for all. That's a generous soul. But those who are stingy, you will find them, they look for the loo. Don't have generous eyes. Your eyes are the winners of your souls. The generous eye shall be blessed. Are you alive in this place, church? Do you want to live big lives? Do you want to move forward? I give you my word, this pastor is making war against stingy spirits. I'm going to squeeze every member in this church individually. Squeeze. I want to see what's coming out of you. You're going to either come out and come right, or you're going to come out and you're going to go out. Look at what the word is saying. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. The question is, if the godly are generous givers, what are the ungodly then? Ask your neighbor, what's the ungodly there? Stingy. Stingy. The godly are generous givers. Are you the godly? If you say that you are the godly, then that should equal generosity. Psalm 112:4 says the following: light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. I wanna park here just for a few seconds. This is how amazing God is. If God wanted you to know that the godly is righteous, compassionate, and generous, He would have put righteous in the beginning. So God wants you to know the godly is number one, generous. Then compassionate, then righteous. That's how amazing God is. If God wanted the church to know that the godly is righteous, compassionate, and generous, He would have put righteousness in front. He didn't. Because He wants us to get this. That the Spirit of Christ is a generous, extravagantly generous spirit. And when you say you are the righteous, generosity has to equal your life. In 2 Corinthians 9:6 in the New Testament, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. He didn't say that. Friends, you can get a bag full of seed and just plant 10 seeds and think that you're going to have a huge harvest. Ain't going to work like that. Even with the seed that God gives you, you need to be generous. Sow your seeds. Don't plant a small crop. Plant a generous crop and you will receive a generous harvest. You have to get this. The full sum of your situation and financial state in the kingdom of God as you're experiencing it today, I'm speaking by the Spirit, is the size of your seed. the size, your life reflects your generosity. Oh, I don't want to hear this, Tabu. It's tight, but it's right. Your generosity. And the moment the devil can get you not to be generous, he's got you. He's conforming you back to that what he wants you to be. And you have to understand that what he wants you to be is a taker. What he wants you to be is to be stingy. He wants your life to become smaller and smaller, not bigger and bigger. So when you plant seed, plant generously. There's seed time and harvest, but when you have a seed time, plant generously. Expand, go beyond. Because you are not spending that money on a holiday. You're not spending that money on a facelift. You're not spending that money on a pedicure. You're not spending that money on a football game. You are spending that money sowing it into the kingdom of God. Proverbs 29:9 in the Message Bible says, generous hands are blessed hands. I want you to lift your hands up to heaven. When we praise and we worship, we encourage people to lift their hands up to heaven. Do you know why? Because the hands are an extension of the heart. It is also a sign of surrender. Any of you watch World War II movies? Documentaries? When people gave over, they didn't come there. No. White flag. Hands in the air. Surrender. So it's a good place to come to church and praise and worship. Lift up your hands. There's a reason, so that your heart can surrender. But when Jesus walks here, and he does, I'm preaching, but he's walking right here today. If he touches your hand, what does he experience? Generosity. Because he says, the hand of the generous is blessed. Amen. And your hands, if it's not generous, expresses your heart. So next time you lift your hands up to heaven, make sure Jesus, be secure and sure that he expects your hands. Because with these same hands, you pray for the sick. With these same hands, you put on to other people to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to be very clear. The Bible says, be careful who put hands upon you. Or who you put your hands upon. So if you have a bunch of people that's in a church or a person in a vision or together as children of God and they are stingy, they will spread that spirit everywhere. Oh, open your eyes sooner than later. People that were generous will become stingy. You have to listen to me. When people pray for you, you have to ask yourself very, very questions. And I don't know for who it is. Number one, under whose authority are they? Number two, by who are they ordained? Number three, what type of spirit does this man or this woman have? Proverbs 11:24 says the following, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. You want to live a larger than life life? No, I'm going to ask this because these people don't understand what larger than large mean. Do you want to live a large life? Yeah. It's a generous. Yeah. Generous. Your life will become larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Friends, listen to me. I have seen men of God, their lives become smaller and smaller because they have stingy spirits. God will not be mocked. You stay stingy, your life is going to become smaller and smaller. That's why I don't understand. This is a generous ministry. Because you, I don't say it arrogantly, you have a generous pastor. Because I want to be like my Jesus and my Father. I look at some of members here that's here for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, maybe as long as I am here myself. And their lives are getting smaller, smaller. They serve their lungs out. They're generous in serving. They're generous in all other areas of the church. But their lives are getting smaller, smaller, smaller. Because of money. You don't have to have much money to love money. Most people who do not have money love it more than those who have it. And because you're not generous in giving, mullah, you hide behind other generous things and think you're going to get a larger than life life. You ain't. I'm helping some of you here today. Because many of you are praying, Lord, expand me. Lord, bless me. Lord, the hands of the generous is blessed. Those who have generous eyes are blessed. The world of the stingy will become smaller and smaller. I want you to look your neighbor in the eye and say, neighbor, don't be stingy. Find another neighbor and say, neighbor, stinginess, it's nasty. It's nasty. Ah! It's the spirit of Satan. Nasty. It's horrible. It's anti-Jesus. Anti-the Father. So you have to understand, if that nastiness is anti-Jesus, anti-the Father, the originator of that spirit, which is Satan, he will go for you. And he wants to conform you back to that nastiness. So there's a fight for your soul. Because if your soul ain't generous, you reflect to this world the wrong Jesus and the wrong Father. You can't be blessed. So there's a battle. And what many Christians do not want, or they don't want this, is for true men of God to stand up and say, you not giving ain't what God made you to be. You being stingy shows that you've got the wrong spirit. You withholding shows that money's got you. It's got your heart. It's got your life. And the worst thing is he will get you in church where you sing the five songs, you sing the slow songs, you sing the fast and slow, you cry, you hear every week with the wrong spirit. Keeps you. And then you 10 years from now, you're still in your house of God. You don't understand why your life is not bigger. Please listen to me here today. Listen to me. You need to look at your life. If you do have Jesus and say that you are born again, ask yourself, can this church, this ministry, people around me, and this world see that I am generous and extravagantly generous? Psalm 37:21, it says, the wicked borrows and never returns. Righteous gives and gives. Generous gets it all in the end. Stingy is out, is cut off at the pass. Friends, you need to get this today. You stay stingy, your Jesus will get his collective, his bailiff, which is Satan, to collect from your life and bring it to the generous in his church. It's going to collect. Your whole, your purse will have holes. The generous gets it all in the end. This is what God wants you to tell you. He wants you to know that you should be generous. Amen. Because you get it in the end. Amen. You're going to lose everything if you stay stingy. You're going to be on your own one day. And Satan wants you to be stingy because he wants to keep your life small. And then he's going to take and take and take and take and take because there's no protection over your finances. There's no protection in your life. He's just going to come and take and take. And when you come to church, you want me to preach upon everything except this. You ask me to inspect your life upon many things, but not this. But this is one of the key things that keep Christians' lives small. Stops the anointing. Stops everything in our lives. Our joy of our salvation. Our thankfulness. So as you are here, and I'm busy losing some of you, what does Jesus command his preachers to do? What does Jesus tell his preachers to do? Study the New Testament, you'll find the Apostle Paul said to Timothy many times, writes to the young pastors and preachers, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You imitate me as I imitate Christ. Then we find here in Timothy where he writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, I want you to preach this. Tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. When you have true men of God in your life, family, and I know that there's a perversion of it. You get those who steal from you and they tell you now is the time. This is fruitful ground. If you're going to give in the next hour, this amount, it is going to multiply to you 100,000 times. I heard God speak to me right now in my spirit. It perverts. Perverts. What does Timothy say? Those who are rich in this world's wealth. You know, every one of you that's here today that's got £3 are classified in the spectrum of this world as rich. £3. He says, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to not be full of themselves and obsessed with money. Look at what he says the next one. He says then, tell them to go for God. Friends, I want to tell you here today that if you go for Jesus, it is impossible to stay stingy. There was a woman that had an issue of blood. She had a real life problem. She mingled through people to get to Jesus. When she got to Jesus, she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be made well. I would be made whole. You see, God wants your life to be whole. He wants you to be in every aspect, in every area of your life, to live a whole life. You see, when she touched Jesus, he gave everything. He restoration, healing, he gave. You cannot go for God and stay stingy. You cannot say to me that you're born again and you're stingy. You cannot say to me that you go and have a loving relationship with Jesus and you're stingy. Because when you touch Jesus, he gives. And I promise you, when he gives you his spirit, when people touch you, you give. Like father, like son. He says to them, don't love money so much. Don't be so full of yourself. Go for God. Look at what he's saying over here. Tell them to do good. Tell them to be rich in helping others. And then tell them to be extravagantly generous. Now look at the promise. Look at the promise. He says, if they do that, they build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is true life. Why God wants you to become extravagantly generous, go for Him, do good to others, help others, don't be full of ourselves and obsessed with money, is that when we do what He asks us to do, we secretly build for ourselves a treasury in heaven that cannot, you can always tap from that treasury. And you're not just finances. You don't have a wife now. You're going to have a wife in the future. You don't have children. You're going to have children. Your children won't know the Lord, but they're going to know the Lord. Your children will be healthy. Your family is growing. You might not have a business now, but because you built yourself a heavenly treasury, it will last. It will last. And you will have true life. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says the following, be generous, invest in acts of charity. I don't know what's my time. Charity yields returns. There ain't a better place as a child of God to invest your finances in than the Church of Jesus Christ. Friends, when you study this book, you find whenever God did or built His house on this planet, He always commanded His people to give. Always. The first temple, He commanded the people to bring generously. You study the good kings, the bad kings, you find all five or six of the good kings, and there were many kings. The first things they did, they started to break down the idol worship. Things higher than God in people's lives. That means your kids is higher. Your job is higher. They started to attack those poles and started to break down those poles. And then they commanded the people to bring extravagantly back that what needs to be in the house of God. When the people listened and they did that, the whole nation became blessed. You see that pattern every often. Hezekiah, David, Solomon, all of them. Same pattern. People lived in slavery. They were in bondage. Then a good king was raised up. A good king is like real pastors today, telling you, your children is not your gods. Your job is not your God. This is not your God. Football is not your God. God is your God. So make up your mind who you will serve. And when you make up your mind who you will serve, then you need to bring to the house of God that what is the Lord's. Every time. And I challenge you to prove me wrong. Every time the people of God built the work of God, built the temple of God, the house of God, and the whole nation became blessed. In the next two sermons, I'm going to talk about something more, even more important to God than generosity. Because you sit here today, you connect your generosity with giving, and you think, I want your money. No, I don't want your money. I want you to be generous, like your father and like your brother. When you are like your father and your brother, your money ain't a problem. It all will go to God. And you see the house of God, the work of God, as the best investment in your life. You never have a problem to bring it to the house of God, because you partner, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, with your Father in heaven to see that His work gets established. You know who you are. When you don't do that, I, as a pastor, as a man of God, has to come into your life and say, bro or girl, you don't know who you are. Don't know who you are. So you and I, we have a job to do. You need to understand that God made you to be extravagantly generous. Be excited about that. Wow, I never knew this. The devil has been stealing from me. And then you need to ask the question, how can I change? How can I change this? And then God will come and He will help you to change it. But you need to understand what I'm talking about today is not a CRC thing, like many of you think it is. It's not a prosperity message. Don't be fooled. In John chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says the following. We all have this generous bounty, gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses. What did the law say? Hello? What did the law say? Bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. We got the basics from Moses. Keep it there. The endless, and this exuberant giving and receiving. Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Do you know that? The book of Genesis, he says, as long as this earth will remain, there will be a seed time and harvest. Giving and receiving. As long as earth remains. He says, we got the basics from Moses. Mo gave us the basics. He says then, the endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus the Messiah. Unless you embrace the basics, you ain't gonna get the knowing and understanding. Embrace who God made you to be, church. Get the basics right. I'm generous. I might not be extravagantly generous yet, but give me space and time. I'm gonna become like my daddy. I'm gonna become like my brother. Not gonna have a stingy spirit in church. I don't wanna go in life through life and people look at me and say, "Ooh, that's a stingy person." I don't know why. He calls himself a Christian. No, make up your mind. I'm going to become extravagantly generous. My father made me to be extravagantly generous. Look at this. He says, this one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him plain that day. When the people experience Jesus as generous inside and out, do you know what they've experienced? The one-of-a-kind expression of the heart of the God, of the Father. You wanted to know the heart of the Father? It says the one expression came in the form of Jesus. And then the Bible says he was generous inside and out. You choked when I said to you earlier that your heart gets exposed through generosity. It shows us exactly who you are. If the Father wanted to show the world who his heart, he did it through Jesus. Jesus became flesh, and when people saw Jesus, they said, wow, this man is generous inside and out. He's true from start to finish. Wow, that's the heart of God. That should be your heart and my heart. And I want to encourage you today. I know that this is not a hoo-ha sermon, but this is a game-changing sermon for many of you. If you can grasp who God made you to be and you embrace it, and you stop flirting with giving and not giving, and you start focusing on being generous, I tell you, your life is going to change totally for the better. And if your generosity is towards the work of God, your eyes are going to become blessed, your hands are going to become blessed, your life is going to go larger and larger, and then you won't tolerate a stingy spirit. It's like dung on the ground. You walk around it. I know I'm keeping you longer. You need to get this. Do not allow Satan to conform you back or keep you having stinginess in your life. It is the sole limitation from you advancing into a bigger than life. Like father, like son. Like father, like son. Ask yourself, am I like Jesus? When Pastor Tabu looks at my life, which I will, I guarantee you that, because this church is not to gather people, this church is to make disciples. If you want to be here, I'm your pastor. My role is to disciple you. I'm going to look into your life. And when I look into your life, I pray that the first thing I see is generosity. I pray for your sake. Because if I don't see that, we're going to have an eye to eye around the Starbucks coffee. And I'm not going to shout at you or nothing. I'm just going to sit you down and say, bro, go. Didn't you hear what I was preaching? Do you want to settle for this life? And do you want to carry that spirit around? I'm asking you. Do you want to be known as a stingy person, or do you want to be known as a generous person that is like Jesus and the Father? Then I want to encourage you today. Do your part. Do your part. Stop pulling. And in the next service, I pray that every one of you stay, because I'm going to give you a revelation which took me years to see. What is even more important to God than generosity? Can you believe that? There's something more important than generosity. Because I said to you, you should be generous, and then you need to move to extravagantly generous. But there's something else more important than those. You have to stay. And you have to embrace this message today. Because I tell you today, it's a game-changing message. If you get this in your life, you're going to see how God's going to enlarge you, use you. Your eyes are going to be blessed. Your soul's going to become blessed. Your hands are going to become blessed. And everything will change. And if God did that in my life, God wants to do that in your life. And I'm not there yet. I've got some space, and I've got some time, and you have some space, and you have some time. Now let's come together, and let's make war against stinginess, and really become the church that God made us to be, generous inside and out, and true from start to finish. Amen. I want you to close your eyes quickly. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for every person. I pray that it will take root in the hearts of everyone here today. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Thank you that I know that this is who you made us to be. Extravagantly generous in all areas of our lives. Not just in giving, but sure, that is an important part. Help us to see it and embrace it. And thank you that you showed us that you are extravagantly generous. Jesus was extravagantly generous, and therefore we can be extravagantly generous. I want to pray for you here today. You might be here for the very first time. You might be coming for a while. I want to ask you a simple question. Is your life right with God? Are you 100% sure that if you die today, that you will spend eternity in heaven? Above everything I said today, I want to ask you, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've never given your life to God. Maybe you've never heard that God loves you, that God has a great plan and a future for your life, and that God wants to give eternal life to you. And if it's you that I'm talking about, and you say, Tabu, that's me. I am not sure that if I die that I will spend eternity in heaven. I do not have the assurance of eternal life, but I want to make right with God. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be right with Him. I want to leave here today knowing that I am right with Him, and He loves me, and that He's in my life. If that is you, then I'd like to pray with you. And when all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want you to quickly just slip up your hand and say, Tabu, here I am. Pray with me before I go today, because I want to make right with God. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. Amen. I want every one of you to look up to me, please. You know what? This is an amazing day. I want to put you at ease. The Bible says no man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means above what Tabu said,
You've heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come back home. And you need to know that Jesus loves you, He cares about you. And this whole event is arranged for this moment because we can't give you much, but what we can give you is Jesus. All that's going to happen right now is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you need to make up your mind to give your life to Him, to follow Him. If you mean business with Jesus, He means business with you. And if my life can change and He used me for His glory, then that's going to happen with you as well. Because God cares about you and we care about you and we love you. Amen. I want you all to put your hand on your heart. I want you to close your eyes and pray this out loud as you confess it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. Ask for your forgiveness. I receive it. I thank you that you will not leave me as you found me. Father, change me into the likeness of your Son and yourself. Thank you that I know and believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me so that today I can receive eternal life. I believe it with all my heart. Thank you for loving me. Use me in your church and your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.